Hello, this is Tom Scott with the news from Ford County for the week of January 10th, 2021. First, the latest press releases from the public health departments. First, the Ford County Public Health Department, and this is dated January 14th. Total cases, 1,364, and that is an increase of 47 from last week, our last reading. And that's the lowest increase, weekly increase, since the beginning of December. There have been 19,556 total tests, and there have been 40 deaths in all, which again is an increase of one over last week. In Iroquois County, and this is dated January 13th, 2021, total cases 2,544, which is an increase of 79. And again, that increase is the lowest since the beginning of December. 2,381 have been released. 104 are in home isolation. 6 people are hospitalized. There have been 53 deaths, and there has been no increase since last week. Females make up 55.3% of those with the disease, and males 44.7%. There are a total of 32,467 test results, and that is with a total negative results of 29,923, with a positivity rate of 6.7%. Our first stories this week will come from the Ford County Chronicle, and the first of which is headlined, Stock and Field Closing All 25 of Its Stores. Watsika. Stock and Field, a retailer of farm, home, and outdoor products, announced this week that it is closing all 25 of its stores, but said it hopes to reopen them at some point in the future. Stock and Field's chairman and chief executive officer, Matthew Webby, announced the news in a January 10th message on its website. After more than 65 years, Stock and Field is closing its doors at all 25 locations. Webby said, there have been many challenges in 2020, and Stock and Field was not immune to them. SNF has partnered with providers of new merchandise and will be selling items at massive discounts in the coming weeks. Even and especially in a pandemic, we believe the customers should be able to get some wins. We'd like to thank our fantastic employees, our loyal customers, and especially the rural communities we partnered with for so many years. We hope to reopen stores at some point in the future, but for now, please come in, say hello to your favorite employee, and enjoy the ridiculously low prices. This won't last for long. The announcement on Stock and Field's website is linked to a U.S. bankruptcy court case filing for the company in the District of Minnesota. A hearing on that case was scheduled for 2 p.m. on January 13th. Stock and Field has stores in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan, including the East Central Illinois communities of Gibson City, Watsika, Danville, and Tilton. A manager at the Gibson City store told the Ford County Chronicle on Monday that he had not been notified of a date for his store's closure. He said the corporate office had yet to notify employees of the store's closure, but had notified them of liquidation. The store remained open. As of Monday, Stock and Field operate under the Big Store, Our Store names from 1964, when Bill and Pat Crabtree opened the first Big R store in Watsika, through July 2019, when the Big R name was changed to Stock and Field. Its offices and warehouses are in Watsika. In a July 2019 news release announcing Big R's name change to Stock and Field, the company said the new name would allow it to send a clear message about their offerings and commitment to providing every rural lifestyle enthusiast with a one-stop destination to gather all of their mission-critical products they need to pursue their work and hobbies. This is an exciting time for our employees, vendors, and customers. It is a milestone for the company as we continue to grow, Webby said at the time. This new brand reintroduces us to the communities we've served for decades. At the same time, it aids our expansion into new markets where we intend to continue building new community partnerships while offering quality products at competitive prices. Next, we have Paxton Community Sales scheduled for April 3rd. Paxton. Paxton Park District is planning on hosting the Paxton Community Sale. The board voted to schedule the sale for Saturday, April 3rd during its meeting on Tuesday. It is scheduled to be held in the area surrounding the Paxton Civic Center. Last year's sale was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. If we open stuff up, we're going to have more stuff this year because everybody wants to get out, Paxton Park Board President Brad Ecker said. The Park Board voted to award scholarships of $250 each to a male and female student at Paxton Buckley Lota High School in 2021. Students seeking scholarships will be asked to submit an essay to the Park Board, which will vote for the scholarship winners. In his director's report, Paxton Park District Recreation Director Cody Evans told Jennifer Wilson through Vital Education and Supply Incorporated about running a CPR class in February or March. According to Evans, the class would have no more than 4 or 5 people and would stay within COVID-19 mitigation. Evans also mentioned during his director's report that he had to cancel a few rentals for January. I am keeping an eye on the current mitigations, Evans said. Hopefully that opens back up. Everybody's been super understanding. He also mentioned that the Park District received a generous donation of a 3-point blade on the condition that the donor remains anonymous and that he or she receive it back if the Park District ever chose that they didn't feel like they needed it. It will come in handy for various tasks, Evans said. During committee reports, Evans discussed the possibility of buying a vacuum for the pool. The current vacuum is shot, Evans said. It's old. Evans said the board could be looking at a cost of $2,000 to $3,500 for a vacuum. We need to have a discussion on what we want to do in the near future with that pool in terms of what are we doing in the summer, Evans said. Ecker mentioned that there might be a shortage of money for the pool due to the baseball and basketball leagues being canceled over the course of the past year. We're not going to have anything near that this year, Ecker said. On Thursday, Evans and Board Commission Chairman Bobby Kennard are scheduled to meet with Rantoul Recreation Department to see what opportunities can be offered for recreational sports when COVID-19 mitigations allow for sports to be played. Among the possibilities are a basketball league in a recreational center in Rantoul and a baseball league. I have no issue going there as long as they're going to offer fair play, Kennard said. Evans also mentioned looking into putting together a bags league and a golf clinic. In other business, the board approved 2021 dates for board commissioner meetings. The board will continue to meet at 5:30 p.m., the second Tuesday of each month. Park Board voted in favor of becoming a member and a sponsor to the Paxton Area Chamber of Commerce in 2021 and approved a reimbursement request of $122.18 from former Recreation Director Neil McHenry. The board approved the repayment of a 2020 loan through the Frederick Community Bank totaling $40,816.87. And approved the treasurer's report with a total balance of $15,762.74. They tabled the digging of a retention pond at Cody Park and tabled the continuing its annual membership through the Illinois Association of Park Districts for 2021. Now from Gibson City. Gibson City Bible Church to host Loss of Spouse Seminar on January 26th. Loss of Spouse is a one-night seminar for people grieving a spouse's death. It will be held Tuesday, January 26th at the Gibson City Bible Church, 309 North State Route 47 in Gibson City. The seminar features a video with practical, encouraging advice from counselors, pastors, and widowed men and women, followed by a small group sharing time. You will learn what to expect in the days ahead, how to handle the loneliness, what to do with your spouse's belongings, and how to find the strength to go on. Everyone who attends receives a booklet with over 30 short readings on how to live with grief and eventually rebuild your life. For more information, call Bonnie at 217-784-5702 or email gcbiblec@gibsoncitybible.org. Grief Share Recovery Seminar and Support Group will be meeting at Gibson City Bible Church each Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. beginning February 2nd. The church is located, as we said earlier, at 309 North Route 47 in Gibson City. Grief Share features nationally recognized experts on grief and recovery topics. Seminar sessions include Is This Normal?, The Challenges of Grief, Grief in Your Relationships, Why Grief and Anger. For more information, again, call Bonnie at 217-784-5702 or by email at gcbiblec@gibsoncitybible.org. Now we'll turn to the Ford County Record, and on the front page we have an article entitled PBL High School Artists Earn Honorable Mention at Art Show. Two Paxton Buckley Loda High School artists were recently recognized for their work. Seniors Hannah Looning and Sasha Jeffries earned honorable mention for artwork they created for the Small Works at Show competition. This is an annual local area high school show hosted by the University of Illinois. All entries could be no larger than 6 by 6 inches. The show is on display at the Krannert Art Museum in Champaign until January 16th. For their entries, Looning created an acrylic painting of a monarch butterfly, while Jeffries made a collage piece, wallpaper, newspaper, and ink pen, of activist Angela Davis. The Ford County Record spoke with the artists about their work and what inspired them. Looning said the size requirement for the show, working on a 6x6 piece of canvas, helped inspire her to choose a subject for the painting. "For some reason, when I think small, I think delicate, little precious things," she said. "So I painted a little butterfly." Looning got her start with art at a young age. "I realized I was pretty good at drawing when I was younger," she said. "I wasn't amazing or anything, but people used to make comments to me about how my drawings looked good." Looning said this encouragement helped her to stay interested in art, and she worked to hone her skill. Asked if she ran into any challenges working with such a small canvas, Looning said properly blending the colors together for parts of the painting did prove challenging. "In the butterfly's wings, I had to blend the colors together for the oranges and yellows, and it is kind of hard because it was a smaller space," she said. Looning said it took one class period for her to draw out the butterfly, and she's had to finish the painting in the time crunch during another class period since she had a lot going on at the time. Jeffries drew inspiration for her work from her feelings surrounding Black Lives Matter social movement last year. She chose to create a collage piece utilizing wallpaper, newspaper, and an ink pen featuring political activist Angela Davis. "I was inspired by the BLM protest during the summer because I really supported that," she said. Jeffries said she was particularly inspired by an interview Davis gave where she spoke about the movement. "Her interview about violence and how she thinks about it and feels about it and the Black community and surrounding communities," she said. "That struck a chord with me. I wanted to do something about that." Jeffries wanted to incorporate newspaper into her piece so she could choose certain elements to highlight and circle. "I thought it would be really interesting background material," she said. "I just wanted to make it look 3D kind of, and to make it have an interesting texture. So that's why I picked wallpaper to make Davis out of." "Working on such a small canvas did prove challenging," Jeffries said, "especially when it came to crafting the facial features on her version of Davis. Especially in the face details. I really felt like I couldn't cut out specific pieces of the wallpaper samples because they were so small," she said. Jeffries said she needed to work with pliers to get the samples cut to the proper shape. Jeffries estimated it took 2 or 3 weeks working on and off in class to complete the piece. All told, she estimated it took 5 or 6 hours to complete. "For Jeffries, art is a way of expressing herself. I like to create art, she said. It's a real expressive thing for me. After the summer and all the BLM protests that happened, I was just feeling really upset and angry at the world, and I wanted to create a lot of stuff to let it out. Jeffrey said she is working on a series of art pieces focusing on the power of the people that is based on the anger and frustration she's been feeling lately. It's just an outlet for me to express the things that I'm feeling without having to yell at somebody, she said with a laugh. Looning said she also uses arts as an outlet, but is more drawn to the aesthetic elements of art. I think I like art for more aesthetic reasons, she said. Looning said she does express herself through art, but she doesn't necessarily think she expresses her feelings through her work. Instead, she said, she thinks her art portrays things she likes and things she thinks are beautiful. While Jeffries has taken part in a small local art show a few years ago, this is the first time she or Looning had taken part in a show like the Small Works at Art Show. Asked how she felt to have her artwork chosen for honorable mention and to have it on display at the Cranard Art Museum, Looning said she was shocked. I was actually kind of shocked that mine got an honorable mention, she said. Looning added that she wasn't at all shocked to see Jeffrey's piece chosen for the show and praised Jeffrey's for her work. Jeffrey said she was also shocked to have her work chosen. I was actually really shocked and surprised because that's definitely not my favorite art piece that I've ever done, she said. So I don't think it would make any place or get any certificates. So I was really happy about it. PBL Art High School art and graphic teacher Emily Wood said artwork for the show was the first project her students took on at this school year. She said both Luenning and Jeffries have won PBL High School's Artist of the Month Award this school year, with Jeffries winning for her Small Works at Showpiece. Wood said there were a lot of pieces entered into the show. She estimated around 200 from around the region. I'm just really proud of them, she said. I just think it's great that a small school like us was represented with some awards. Wood said both students deserve to be recognized for their work. They're both very deserving, she said. They both work very hard. They're just really hard workers, and they really just want to get better. I appreciate their willingness to take on challenges and not just want to create things they're already good at. They're willing to give new things, try new materials, and to grow their skills. In other school news, Farmers Merchants Bank of Illinois donates $13,000 to Foundation for Technology Upgrades. PBL Education Foundation has received a $13,000 donation from Farmers Merchants Bank of Illinois to be used towards improving technology throughout the school district. We fully recognize how difficult e-learning has been on some families, and we wanted to make sure we did our part in helping combat this challenge, said Nick Reuter, Farmers Merchants Bank of Illinois president. I'm just an education junkie. I love working with students and schools to help make our young citizens valuable members of our society. When asked about an assessment of needs, Superintendent McClure said that one of the district's top tech priorities was upgrading the Mac Lab. Plans are to replace all 20 machines with the newest Apple desktops, which will include the Adobe Suite, SketchUp, and other 3D printing software. Refreshing the projection system is also in the works. The Mac Lab is used by high school students to create designs for the high school and district, as well as new logos for some city and county businesses. This donation comes at a time when the pandemic continues to increase the need for technology across all grades within our district, within schools and homes and classrooms, said Foundation Board Member Carl Hudson. Founders Merchants Bank of Illinois has been a longtime supporter of the foundation. Their generosity has helped to launch the popular book fair coupon program. Additionally, the bank has provided an $8,000 scholarship to a local graduating senior each year for the past 21 years. When we've needed help to start new programs or provide opportunities in our schools, Farmers Merchants Bank of Illinois does not hesitate to help us, and we're so grateful for their support, said Robin Newwald, chairman of the PBL Educational Foundation. Now we'll turn to the obituaries for Ford County for the week of January 10th, 2021. And for this week, we have only two. Donald Dean Hansen. Donald Dean Hansen, 76, of Gibson City, passed away at 2:06 a.m. Monday, January 11, 2021, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Thursday, January 14th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial was in the Drummond Township Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Sibley 4th of July. Chester H. Sands. Chester H. Sands, 95, of Thawville, passed away at 12:22 p.m. Sunday, January 3, 2021, at Heritage Manor, Gibson City. A private family burial will be held at Ridgeland Township Cemetery in Thawville, with the Reverend John Houck officiating. Military honors will be accorded by Thawville American Legion Tracy Smith Post 700. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. We return to the news with a feature article entitled, What's in a Name? Historical, that is. Editor's note. A group of citizens is planning a year-long celebration during 2021 of the 150th anniversary of Gibson City's founding. Articles with historical information will be periodically submitted for the goal of educating or reminding residents of historical information. With a nod to Shakespeare, this occasional column about Gibson City's history was started by asking the question, what's in a name? The following is a list of well-known names in and around Gibson City, along with their historical backgrounds and some current updates. Gibson City. The town's name honors the maiden name of its founder's wife, Margaret Gibson Lott. She married the founder, Jonathan B. Lott, in 1867 at the age of 23. Miss Gibson was born in Ohio, but was living in Danvers, McLean County, when she married Mr. Lott. Mr. and Mrs. Lott were the town's first residents in 1869, and their first home measured just 12 by 14 feet. Lott constructed it by adapting a railroad car, a common practice then due to short lumber supplies. Thus, that meager home was the fledgling town's first building. Before winter of 1869, though, Lott had erected a frame house. Mrs. Lott was later referred to as the mother of Gibson City for her many civic involvements, including as a charter member of the First Christian Church. Her sister, Miss Hattie Gibson, became the town's first bride when she married Bruce McCormick. 7 years after Mr. Lott's death, Mrs. Lott remarried, this time to O.H. Damon, another Civil War veteran and town leader. When Damon was elected mayor for 1 year in 1886, she assisted his work. The word city was added to the town's name by the postal department because it believed there would be confusion with another Illinois town named Gibson, which to this day remains a small, unincorporated town in Knox County. Sangamon Avenue. The town's central business street was originally called Main Street, but was later named after Sangamon River that crosses Illinois Route 47 south of Gibson City. The river is believed to get its name from a Potawatomi word, Sangimon, translated as where there is plenty to eat. The street was always wide, as it is today, and early cars parked two in a row down the street's middle in the downtown area. Sangamon Avenue is 100 feet wide, with other streets built at 80 feet width. The street was paved with bricks, as it mostly still is today. Amazingly, those bricks were first laid in 1906. Lott Boulevard. While not one of the county's earliest settlers, that would be Andrew Jordan in 1851, Jonathan B. Lott established a 12-block plat for Gibson City in 1871 and incorporated the town in 1872. Lott was born in Ohio, but became a farm boy in McLean County and then bought a Ford County farm in 1869. Lott was a classmate of Joseph W. Pfeiffer, who would become the 19th governor of Illinois from 1889 to 1893 and prove helpful in later Gibson City Railroad development. Mr. Lott and Governor Pfeiffer also fought in the Civil War together, with Pfeiffer crediting Lott for saving his life. Lott did not live to see his town grow a great deal because he died in 1879. The broad north-south street that bears Lott's name is situated two blocks east of Sangamon Avenue. It was originally called Lott Street. The street was paved in 1922 with a curved grass median at its center, and the street designation was changed to Boulevard in 1923. Over the years, the median has been removed section by section, and not without some citizen protest, and the center area has been paved over. The street most recently was repaved from 13th to 18th Street during a 2015-2016 city project. In 2021, only the block between 12th and 13th Street still retains the center median. The Moyer District Library and Moyer Foundation. There were at least two structures that honored the name of William Moyer, an early resident who became wealthy as a grain dealer in Gibson City, with his said to be the town's first business. The William Moyer Library, forerunner to today's Moyer District Library, was established by city resolution in 1911 to honor Moyer's wishes for a free library, with his contribution of $14,000 toward the town's first permanent library building. Moyer also donated $1,000 for a 15-foot fountain located at the intersection of Sangamon Avenue and 19th Street. It was one of three fountains donated to the city, and all three were unveiled in 1895 when the city's first waterworks were turned on. Moyer's cast iron fountain was removed in 1926 to Mellinger Park, but eventually scrapped due to deterioration. Drummer Township. Tom Cheney, an early resident of Cheney's Grove, in the Saybrook area, had a dog that he named Drummer because the dog was good at drumming up wild game. While hunting in a grove northwest of Gibson City in 1836, Cheney became angry at the dog for breaking loose and scaring off a deer, so he shot Drummer. His hunting companions immediately suggested they name the wooded area Drummer Grove, and so it became known. Eventually, residents used the area as a recreational spot for swimming, and there was even an early ball diamond there. Drummer's name was also honored in other ways. Drummer Township Cemetery, and Drummer Township High School, forerunner of the Gibson City High School, now GCMS High School. And finally, Drummer Township Cemetery. Drummer Township Cemetery's original site was on 10 acres deeded to the township by Jonathan B. Lott in 1874. Lott originally planned to build his home on the knoll in the center of the site. The cemetery still exists on the same site at Gibson City's west edge, but the site has been expanded over the years to a total of 40 acres, 20 acres of which are currently used for grave sites. The original cemetery was laid out in a circular pattern with Soldier's Circle at the top of the knoll, and most of the earliest graves are within or adjacent to that circle. The first recorded burial there was of Mrs. Mary Bowker, who died at her farm south of town in 1876. The current total of burials is approaching 7,000. Information from headstones has been compiled by the members of the Governor Thomas Ford chapter of the DAR, and other individuals, including the late Mike Upton. Upton's information and current entries are maintained on the cemetery's office or available online at various websites such as Find a Grave. Additions to the now 40-acre site include a veterans memorial at the southwest corner in 2008 and a columbarium in 2018 near the memorial. The 48 niches in the columbarium are designed equally for veterans and general public, with space for two urns per niche. The column has space for up to 96 urns. And that's all the time we have this week for reading the news from Ford County. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.